The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Angelina? Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here, but a little bit of a new look tonight. I am Rob Cicerino here with Angelina Keeley. Angelina, how are you?
Hello, Rob. I'm doing great. Happy to be here. A little nervous to fill in for Steven, but I'm ready.
Okay. No, this is a major upgrade. Very excited to have you. Of course, Steven Fishback is recovering from shoulder surgery. He is tweeting venom as we speak, so he seems like that he is absolutely fine. Very excited to be live with you here tonight. Thank you for joining us, Angelina.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. And hopefully Steven is also updating his resume because he's going to be out of a job pretty soon.
Oh, hey, look, well, from what I understand on these days, you don't want to have too good of a resume. You have a resume and then they kick you right out of there. So that would be true to form.
That is true. That is true.
Yes. Okay. So, Angelina, very excited to have you here with us live here on a Wednesday night after episode number 11, back in the studio after our trip to Philadelphia last week. Lots of fun in Philly with all the fans out there. But we have to talk about War Dog going home in a big swing. He made his big move. It swung back on him this week, and we'll talk about all that. Of course, we've got so much still coming up here in these big week on the podcast. As per usual, Angelina, PG Law is going to be here with me in the studio on Thursday. The mayo jar, Nick Majorana. Have you ever met him?
I haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, you're in for
the
a treat
mayo
one day.
Jar.
Yes.
What a name.
Nick Majorana. He will be my guest on Friday for the feedback show in the studio. And AJ Mass will be our guest on This Week in Survivor before we get back to Josh in the Wiggle Room coming up this week. And then after this show tonight, I'm going to be live on FanCred on the FanCred app. You can get FanCred.com with the Purple Pants Badass, Bryce Isaiah, at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So a jam-packed...
I said hi. I'm dying to meet him.
I will. He is the best, and we had a great time with him in Philly as well. But Angelina, okay, first off, before we get to War Dogs and everything with him, so how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, life post-Survivor has been very peaceful.
That's
very
good.
Happy. Yeah, no more Twitter trolls and just getting back to normal, working on my nonprofit. My husband just got home last week, so... life is great right now.
Okay. Happy to hear it. I get trolled by Steven Fishback on Twitter. So, I'm still dealing with it, but happy to hear that everything is going good for you. All right.
That mute button, man.
Yes. Okay. He's pushing it tonight. All right. So let's talk about what happened here tonight. So War Dog ultimately goes home after he took out Kelly Wentworth. So in your mind, was this the smoking gun that it was too early to take out Kelly Wentworth, or do you think that War Dog screwed the pooch here after in the damage control following Kelly Wentworth going home?
Absolutely think it's the latter. I think the move could have been okay if it weren't for his lack of gentleness with his cleanup.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, his approach with Gavin, his approach with many. And let me back up and say that I met War Dog a few weeks ago. He's awesome. Really like the guy in
sure.
person. So don't mean to drag him through the mud, but you know, and we all make mistakes out there. So
look, and that's why I love to talk to people that just came off the show, because you guys have it. So, one foot in both worlds where yeah. that you were most recently that you were the person that was out there and people were talking yeah. about what a great move, what a dumb move. And so, and you're also able to have that really fresh perspective of just doing it. Unlike Steven and I, who have done it longer ago. So
a little bit ago,
yeah.
not too long.
So, but
it, yeah,
but
no, so I think we I get think it. It was yeah, it was his approach. It was his cleanup afterwards that really shot him in the foot and put the nail in his coffin tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that he made a good move last week to get rid of Kelly Wentworth, and now that we saw a little bit more about it, I think that as a viewer we said, oh, okay, well, Kelly, Lauren, War Dog, that's a final three. But now it seems like that we heard from War Dog that Gavin was really tight with Kelly, and maybe that Gavin was somebody that was in her final three, and also that it was Julie was somebody else that War Dog said to Julie in the episode. I couldn't believe it. He's like, well, you were closer with Kelly than I was, so I couldn't tell you about the plan. Like, what? Julie was closer with Kelly than War Dog was? This is a shock to me. So right. it did seem like that War Dog wasn't maybe in Kelly's final plan, so I understand why he had to make the move. But he had been so good all season long at working with everybody. He was the person that we saw last week. He had all the 30-second conversations that back in the episode where Eric went home, where he was the person in Gavin's ear. He was the person in Julia's ear, where he was the person who could be making a plan with anybody at any time. And then all of a sudden tonight, it just seemed like that he really was boxed into a corner where that all of a sudden he was like the new David Wright. And the only person that he could count on was Rick Devins.
I agree. And I think one of his mistakes too was putting the target on Aurora. I think that if he had taken a step back from the game for a minute and said, okay, he recognized he was the biggest threat after, Devins, then the third would have been Ron. And so if he was really thinking through it, I think he would have put the target on Ron and said, hey, Ron's calling you all puppets. He's calling you goats. I don't play that kind of game, or whatever he needed to say to kind of assuage the others towards him. I think that would have been potentially a better move than just going for, quote unquote, the easy vote in Aurora, which, again, we could talk about Aurora tonight, too. But I hate this whole concept of easy vote. I hate the concept of goats. And I also really don't like when people start thinking, oh, we're the only three players in the game, take away agency from everyone else.
Right. Well, we'll talk all of that through. Yeah. I want to just stay with War Dog for a couple more moments. And I think that for him, that the thing that I've seen so many times this season, there's been so many big swings in the game. It seems like that the same group never votes together twice. And so for War Dog, I feel like that either the move had to be for him to either A, stick with the people that voted out Kelly Wentworth last week and then try to come up with another target on that side, whether it was Gavin or potentially a Lauren, and try to keep that group together that he voted with last time, or then try to rekindle some of the bonds and then go after somebody on the other side. But this, to me, that to go after Aurora, who was somebody who voted with him last week, seemed like that there's not enough people in the game to go after somebody who worked with you on the previous vote.
Exactly. And I think especially at this time in the game, his reasons for targeting Aurora were that he felt like she, I think he said she like ran her mouth a bit and was good in challenges, and that her name had come up a lot. And I just don't think that's strong enough reasoning for anyone to get on board that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you about Ron Clark here, who was shown in the episode to be somebody who was in the middle, who really had to decide which way he wanted to go. And it's hard to tell because there were only two votes that were going against Aurora. So maybe Ron might have wanted to stick with War Dog, but just Julie said, hey, no way, I'm not doing this. And he didn't have the numbers. But for Ron, I don't like the way that things have gone here, because to me, I don't see any way how Ron's not the next person that gets voted out of the game if Devins is, for whatever reason, unavailable to get voted out.
Yeah, no, I think next week is absolutely either Ron or Devins. Mm-hmm. Neither of them have idols right now. Only one of them obviously can have immunity. So as long as the producers don't put another idol or half idol in anyone's bag, then I think it's absolutely one of those two. That being said, I think Ron made a good move this week in the sense that he did build some trust with the people who felt on the outs from the threats.
Yeah.
And so I think that does count for something in terms of gaining their respect and their trust for next week.
Right. He was able to distance himself from War Dog, even though he was having those flirtations, and he was getting into it with Aurora, and ultimately did a good job of not letting her know that she was really getting under his skin. So that was good. But to go back to Ron from last week, I didn't love that he went along with the move with War Dog's plan to vote out Kelly, because I felt like that if he would have gotten rid of Aurora, he could have kept that extra vote. That ends up coming up tonight where he ends up giving it back to her, and then he ends up voting out War Dog in this tribal council. But I thought last week that he was going to have a major problem with Julie, but Julie's like, no problem. I get it, Ron.
Julie was an OG. Like, honestly, I in looking back at this episode and in my geeky notes that I took, Julie just jumped out to me this episode, and it's having really subtle, strong gameplay. Mm-hmm. The first was her reaction to Ron and being so calm, cool, and collected when he didn't include her, and that's her ride or die.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what? It's cool. I understand. It's the game. And then the second was when she was in the water with Lauren during the immunity or the challenge win. And she's like, hey, I don't like that they're calling all these women out as just someone to take to the NT.
Yeah.
So Julie, to me, is like wide awake. And she is playing like that gentle, soft, subtle game that oftentimes doesn't get as much credit, but I think should.
Yeah, I think that Julie was a real key in everything, because I think that she was somebody that she was insisting War Dog, where Lauren was saying like, no, it's got to be Devin's. And it seemed like that maybe they weren't going to be able to come to an agreement about who to vote for. And then once Devin's won the immunity, then I wonder if Julie ended up, being the person to be able to flip Ron also against the idea of voting out War Dog or against the idea of voting out Aurora at this vote.
Going with War Dog. Yeah, my sense of it is that I really felt like from what we saw that Julie and Gavin were the real voices in terms of staying strong on the War Dog train this whole episode.
Yeah. And I thought that War Dog did a really bad job with Gavin in this episode, where then they had basically that disagreement and then didn't talk to each other the whole rest of the episode. And, you know, it ends up working out for Gavin. I thought that Gavin was going to be the one who got voted out. Once they kept showing Gavin talking about how, hey, I'm going to get my revenge, I'm going to get out War Dog, and this is going to be so sweet, and like, oh, if they're telling us it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. And this was one where it was hidden in plain sight, where Gavin did get War Dog out in this episode, but we didn't see Gavin very much involved in any of the planning. We just knew he was mad at War Dog and wanted to get him out.
Yeah. So then I would just assume that he had agency along with Julie and others who were wanting him out. Mm-hmm. But Gavin made a good point. And this is what I was kind of saying a few minutes ago. It's like, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And unfortunately for War Dog, he did have a very kind of antagonistic and aggressive approach with Gavin and a lot of people who were speaking out against him. And you just have to have like a light touch with people, especially at this point in the game, when everyone's wronged everyone. Kind of how you react to things is really what can differentiate a good player from a great player.
Yeah, it's hard to be adversarial when you're the person who ends up making a move like that. You know, we saw it in your season where when Cebu got voted out, where after that move happened, you know, I remember when Nick and Christian were getting into it, and Christian was, completely the opposite. He's like, hey, let me just explain. And, it's not like that there is like one thing that actually will always work, because Nick was, it didn't matter what Christian had to say to him. But I do feel like that being so confrontational about it of, hey, I'm not talking to you now, seems like that is hasty.
It is hasty. You never want to burn bridges. And we saw Rick kind of do this too a few weeks ago, obviously him and War Dog, the men's, but you just never deny. And I know Steven said this in his blog. It's like, you never deny an offer in the game, even if it's like, okay, nodded smile and hold your tongue. You just gotta hold your tongue, even if it's really hard to do.
All right, let's talk about one of the things you brought up earlier, the idea of, hey, we are the people who are the pilots. We're the people who are making moves. And the other people in the game, those are the goats, and we need to take them out. Yes, we are all our own biggest competition, but we're also the people that we need to get through this. And it turns out that other than Ron ended up getting away, but two of the three people in that conversation ended up being the people that were left out of the vote this round.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so going to what I was saying about that, I just honestly, like, nothing offends me more than when someone calls someone a goat in this game, like, especially so far from the end. I know it feels close to them, but it's not. You know, there's still so much gameplay to happen. And that's what Aurora said tonight. There's still so much game left that you can't turn and say, okay, this person's winning right now, or this person's the sure thing. I really truly believe that as soon as you start underestimating other people and thinking that they have no power, have no voice, have no agency, is the second that your ego and your power trip gets so big that it's your demise.
Yeah.
And so I think, again, I think this is going to be so true in the coming weeks. I think we saw it tonight with War Dog. You know, I just have this feeling that Devins is going to get voted out and maybe re-enter the game. But time will tell.
Yeah, I could see that. And it came up so much at Tribal Council also, where every single person that was voted out was, you know, a quote unquote big threat in one way or another. And then at some point it starts to, like, you know, turn on its head, where the biggest threat is the person who isn't a threat at all.
Exactly. And you, like, it's funny because if you look at the final three, sometimes it's not always the strongest player, the best player, the most strategic player. Like, look at our season. Christian was probably the smartest. Like, all the big guys and girls were taken out. Like, me, Nick, and Mike were not the strongest in any sense of the word, but we made it to the end because you have to kind of finagle your way. You have to be a little bit of a sleeper to get to the end. And I think right now we're getting these big egos speaking so loudly and almost pretending like each tribal is final tribal. And you just can't jump the gun right like that, because then you're going to be gone.
Yeah.
I felt like tonight was like a preview of a final tribal. Like, it felt kind of final tribally. And it's like, no, you can't do that.
Well, it's so interesting to me, Angelina, because there's so much jury pandering that's happening right now of people saying, well, this is what I'm doing for this person on the jury. And they're almost like talking directly to the jury. And it's wild, because this isn't just the jury. One of these people is coming back into the game. And so there's almost like alliances that are being formed across tribal council with somebody that's going to come back into the game, and somebody is going to come back and say, hey, I want to work with you because I liked what you've been saying at these tribal councils.
Yeah. And the smiles and the winks. And it was so obvious tonight. People were working the room, and you have to, but at the same time, you don't want to do too much. They get called out on it.
Yeah, that can happen. Talk a little bit. I want to ask you about this. Do you see this as that the women are potentially getting together and are about to do their own thing here in this game? Because it was presented tonight as sort of like the people that are making moves versus the people that are the goats. But basically, it's Ron and Gavin and then all of the women that are left in the game. Do you see that potentially this coalescing into the women coming together and then just making an end run at this?
I mean, I hope so. I think that would be a dream scenario for a lot of people. We've been dying. I can't speak for everyone, but I think a lot of fans have been dying for another female winner. It's been a hot minute, unfortunately. And I mean, I would love to see that. I think we have some really smart and strong women left. I mean, look at Lauren, Aurora, Victoria, Julie. They are all really talented players. And I think that they're all smart enough to know that they do need to be making moves. And I think they are making moves. I think it's just done in a little bit of a quieter way. And unfortunately, the game does reward being loud and being just kind of front and center. And so, yeah, I think that between those four ladies that I just mentioned, plus Gavin, I see those five potentially retaking control of this game and saying, to hell with you guys who tried to kind of like ride us off as goats. And having like a little rebellion. I would love to see that.
Tonight was a big night for Lauren, and we had Kelly Wentworth voted out last week, who she said was like a big sister to her. And then she was in focus for, you know, a lot of the episode, talking about that she still wanted to get out Rick Devins. And then we had that was on a night where Rick Devins won immunity, a bad moment when he was like, hey, the women here, they're just here for the to relax. They're not players in the game. And then, you know, then him and War Dog walk away, and then talking about like, okay, well, let's work together on this vote, and ultimately ends up being the undoing for War Dog and Devins, who was the other person left out of that vote. But I thought that this was the first night that I could start to squint my eyes and see Lauren as a potential person who could win the game.
I would love that. I mean, I've respected Lauren since the beginning of this game. You know, she found that idol early on.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a competitor. She fainted in that challenge.
Yes.
She's made good relationships. Like, I think potentially Lauren could be a sleeper winner. I could see maybe even Gavin being a sleeper winner. You know, I think right now.
I feel like Gavin, is not yet in the conversation for me.
Lauren, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That would be incredible. I think it's a big uphill road to that point. I think right now, unfortunately, I think the front runners right now are definitely Ron and Devins, and then potentially, I think it's one of those two right now.
Okay. What about Julie? Do you feel like that she's somebody who could now, you know, she had like her low moment at that tribal council where Julia got voted out. Could she be on the rise? Yeah. Yeah.
What's the question?
Do you think that Julie could be on the rise here and making a run?
I would also love to see that. I feel like Julie she's kind of the same mind as me in a lot of ways. A lot of the confessionals, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's me talking in, 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. I think the hard part with Julie is that we've seen a lot of human moments from her where she struggles with hurting people, struggles with lying to people. She didn't want Rick to go at the merge because he had just gotten back in the game. That's right. A very emotional response to have. And again, it shows her heart. But when you're playing Survivor, kind of what like Victoria said, you've got to put your heart out of it, mm-hmm. and you have to be cutthroat.
Yeah.
And I don't see that cutthroat nature in Julie, unfortunately. And so I don't see her being a winner, but I do see her going far.
And then we have Victoria again, who this is the 11th episode, and every tribal council that she's been to, she somehow gets on the right side of the numbers.
That's impressive.
Yeah. But
she's a smart girl. She's doing her thing. I mm-hmm. love it.
But
with her little beanie on.
Yeah. But we haven't seen, but other than that, we don't see a lot from her in terms of, the planning of the vote. We heard her name thrown about, but, she didn't seem to be somebody who was super active in terms of targeting War Dog this time.
Yeah, I agree. And, coming just straight off of a season and to call it out, we can never think as fans that doesn't mean that she wasn't doing anything, right? Because there were so many episodes that I watched and it was showing someone leading a vote. And I was like, I was super active in whipping those votes too. And then it was completely not there. And so I think we just have to always keep that in the back of our heads as we are watching these episodes, is that it is really condensed and we're not seeing what everyone's doing. And so I would venture to say that I think Victoria is doing a lot more behind the scenes than we're getting to see.
Okay. Angelina, I would be remiss if I did not ask you about the feud over the rice tonight in this episode. I was so happy when I was watching the episode. I said, oh, what a perfect night to talk to Angelina about what was going on. And we got to see a similar situation where that I know from your season, people win reward, the people at home, what are they going to do? They're going to eat all the rice.
Yeah, this was absolutely foreshadowing. I think they are going to run out of rice. But I'm telling you, I'm calling it now, Rob. Prediction right now. They're going to run out of rice just like we did.
Yes.
Just like Ghost Island did, but it wasn't shown.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to figure out what to do.
They have to figure out what to do. Yeah.
They're not going to get as good a deal as we did. I'll tell you that.
Right. Well, they didn't get to see your season either. So, when they ran out of rice on Ghost Island, they didn't show that either. So they're going to be sort of like back to square one if that's going to be a thing. What day is it now? Is it day 27 or 30?
So it was 29 was the night of tribal. So I think the rice situation was day 28.
Yeah.
Which for us, for David versus Goliath, the day that I talked to Jeff about our rice was it was 11 days before the end. So yeah, it was day 28. When I asked him, we weren't completely out yet. We had about a day and a half left.
Mm-hmm.
So things are lining up pretty closely. Mm-hmm. To what happened with us. And it also looks like they're not catching much fish or anything either from what we've seen on camera.
Only on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they've got, Joe and Chris. They've got some eye candy over there on the edge.
So I thought that was so interesting with Ron and Aurora, you know, and they were arguing over, you know, how much rice to make. Ron wanted to make a lot. Aurora, he called the Aurora the rice Nazi. No rice for you, Ron.
It's hard. So I was sort of in a little bit of this role too, because I would take an active role in cooking, along with a lot of people. Like some people sure. would clean, blah blah blah. You know how it goes, division of labor. But I was oftentimes the person who was pouring the rice. And as it kind of got lower and lower, you start to realize like, oh shit. But what I would do after reward losses, because I don't know if you recall, but I was on like.
Yeah, streak, I remember.
My streak of losing.
Yeah.
If losing was winning, I'd be a winner. So anyway, I remember like I would ask folks like, how many should we do? I wouldn't make the decision myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people do want to eat a little extra when other people are off feasting. And
sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's some of that tragedy of the commons for sure. And so anyway, so that's kind of how you get in that precarious situation. But yeah, so it's a tough spot to be in. And I never told people no, because that's not a good look. And so I was never called rice
Nazi.
No, those are tough words. That's a sensitive word to throw
yes,
out.
Yes, no, well, I think it's a Seinfeld reference that I don't think it's
a Germany reference.
Well, that I think, but the soup Nazi was, you know, the famous character from Seinfeld. So I think that that's more, I don't think that he's calling her a literal Nazi. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's definitely
too soon, Ron. Well, Clark,
we'll find out if Ron is a Seinfeld. We know he's a Friends fan. We'll find out if he's a Seinfeld fan. But I thought that was such a funny line that he said about how that it's like living with Aurora. He's like, if I have to live with Aurora for 39 days, then they need to give $2 million. It's not worth it for $1 million.
Oh my, that was pretty good. That was a good line.
Yeah. How about on the edge of extinction tonight, Angelina, where we got to see Kelly Wentworth going through a hard time? That was a nice moment where Joe was there to cheer her up. The two of them had been through the second chance season together, and that was nice that they, yeah, and they really didn't have a lot of time together in the game other than sort of like the 3 days at the merge. And then it was like a nice moment, and Kelly's at her weakest, and then here comes Reams like, dude, I've been waiting for Kelly to get voted off since day three. And like, I'm like, what? It took you so long. Like, why vote her out?
Get those voices. Yeah,
you ruined my Survivor game.
You know, okay, so I have a few things. First of all, I cried when Kelly cried. It just struck a chord. I mean, I think I relate a lot to Kelly. So to see her kind of break down, I was like, I just felt it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was also sad because I did feel like it was a bit of a close out for Kelly. And so it kind of made me lose hope that she would be.
Oh, interesting.
So that was, you know, a bit sad. And I was still wanting to see some Aubrey because I felt like maybe that mm-hmm. she could re-entry, but we didn't hear from her tonight. So I'm kind of letting that flame die as well.
Yeah. But I liked when it was Joe and Kelly and Aubrey all together. I don't know how do they let David Wright hang out with them?
You can't sit with us, David.
Sit with Reem, David.
No, I do love watching Edge. I think it is so fascinating because it does give you a glimpse into the, you know, kind of the picking up of the pieces that happens after the show,
mm-hmm.
whether it's at Ponderosa, Australia, or back, you know, after the game. These conversations happen and feelings are legitimately hurt, even though, you know, it's a game. You still have to pick up the pieces. And so I appreciate that Reem is so upfront, because the sooner you're upfront with like, hey, I'm mad at you, the sooner you can like get over it.
Right. And these are awkward conversations that happen in real life where, you know, not that I know from experience, but if you are somebody who goes into the, you make the merge and you go far into the game, you don't see the person who got voted off on day three until the finale. And it's, you know, many months later. And sometimes that person still has an axe to grind with you and has things to say that you have to listen to.
Sometimes you get their number and you sit on the number for a little bit too long, a couple months, and they get upset. They
yeah.
some or reach out.
So I do like that we get to see that on the edge of extinction.
Me too. I think it's adds a really interesting dimension to the game.
It's very fun. What else from your notes tonight that you took that you want to touch on from this episode?
Let's see. I gave my props to Julie. We talked about the rice.
Okay.
It's coming. Still no bathing suits.
Well, the bathing suits are not coming. Tyler Perry put in an order of no bathing suits for the whole year, I think.
I hope that he has a special place in a special place. That's all I'm going to say. Because being out there that long without a bathing suit is absolute torture.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right. Well, let's start to bring in some of the questions that we have from the listeners of the podcast. And of course, if there's anything that you remember from your notes or you see, feel free to jump in. Okay. So let's go ahead and bring in a question. This is from Survivor Brent. At this point, other than winning immunity, what is Rick Devin's path to the end? Do you think that Rick Devin's could potentially figure this out and come up with anybody that wants to work with him?
I think Rick's only path to the end is re-entry at the next re-entry point. I think he's absolutely going to get voted off. The only chance I think he has of winning this game is getting back by winning his way back in.
Yeah. So you think he has to leave so that he could come back? And Rick Devin's has proven to be a fierce competitor in these challenges. I think that nobody would really give him a lot of credit early on in the season.
Dad bod can move.
He can do puzzles that we saw him last week with balancing the balls, this week with, and he got everything through the obstacle course. And then of course that with the, getting the thing up the snake. So Rick Devin's has done well, and maybe, he is the person that could be in one of these, if he has to go back. He's been through this experience before. He's now participated in a lot of challenges. So I guess that you wouldn't think of him as a front runner to potentially come back in if he goes out. But watch out for Rick Devin's. He's hot.
He is. And I don't see him going on like an immunity streak, even though he is heating up right now. He's got two in a row, which is great. But I don't see him like winning his way to the end with immunities. I think he's going to lose. I think, unless, like I said, unless he finds an idol or he gets another idol handed to him by production, then I only see the way for him to win and get to the end is to be kicked out, come back, and then be sitting at the end. He does have a very strong story. He's played a good game.
Angelina, are you surprised how few immunity idols we've seen found in this season? We basically had the one that we had one that was found, and look, that the women have found the idols. That hasn't been the problem. The two of the women have been voted out with the idols. They still have them. And Lauren has the other one, but nobody else, no other idol has been found in the season.
Well, let's get to that, but I actually have a question for you, Rob.
Go for it.
When these idols go to Edge with their owner,
yes.
Say Aubrey or Kelly were to get back into the game, would their idols still be with them and have power?
So I do know they would not have power. That's been explained. What I don't know is, would they physically get to keep them, and could they then sort of either hide them or put them out as a fake idol? That's what has not been explained. And maybe we'll get to find out that answer from Kelly or Aubrey after the season. But I do know that the idols themselves, once you're voted out, they don't have any more power.
Oh, man. Okay. But yeah, it could be trickery.
Yeah.
But okay.
I really thought that we were going to see Lauren potentially find another idol, because she was the person that knew Kelly had her idol. She saw Kelly get voted out and had to have been thinking, okay, well now Kelly's idol is going to be re-hidden in the game. And I thought that she had a chance to come away with two idols.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We didn't see anyone searching for idols.
Again, and like you said, of course, I'm sure it's happening, but
Well, maybe next episode someone will finally find it. I know that the closer you get to the end, the more difficult production makes it to find them. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps people are looking and just it hasn't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super proud to see so many women crushing it on the idol front this season. And I cannot take credit for it because they were out there before they saw our
no,
season.
You put it into, you manifested it.
I spoke it into the universe's energy.
Yes. So good job. You did it. Okay. All right. All right, let's talk about this question from Fiona. Would it have been better for Ron to get out Aurora and get her advantage? So going back to last week's Tribal Council, I like the idea of Ron voting out Aurora, and then it would have really sent, you know, Kelly and Wardog would have been fighting with each other after Wardog tried to vote her out. Aurora would have been gone. Ron would have had the extra vote. Julie would have been still, even though she wasn't unhappy with Ron, but I like that the idea of Ron not having to vote against his ally there. Then it seemed like in this episode that we had a little bit of like that they were dangling the idea of that Ron was going to potentially not give the advantage back to Aurora.
He would have solidified his place on a villain's tribe. Mm-hmm. He didn't take the bait. I think it was the right move not to do it. I could see how tempting it would be, but I you know, look at some of his closest allies, right? Like, I think Julie would have really taken it personally. I think she wouldn't have liked that. I think Gavin wouldn't have liked that. I think maybe Victoria would have, but I think that he kind of did the calculation. I don't think it would have sat well with anyone. Mm-hmm. Or maybe with a few, but not many. But then, like you're saying, it does keep Kelly in the game, so there's trade-offs, but I don't know. I think that he made the right move in terms of keeping her around and having her trust him for a little longer.
Angelina, I was so surprised when I was watching the episode and then it said Ron, one extra vote on like underneath him. And I was like, wait, when did Ron get an extra? Oh, wait, is this still because he's holding Aurora's advantage that he gets lower thirded as one extra vote?
Yeah. So I guess it seems that if the owner kind of verbally gives ownership, then that other person gets to claim it, which is pretty wild.
Yeah. Surprised Aurora wasn't like right after Tribal Council, like, hey, Ron, can I get that extra vote back? She didn't seem to be forcing the issue too much.
No, I mean, this is where her lawyer brain is really apparent. Like, she is very aware. She's very calculated, you know, mm-hmm. Even though she claims that she can't hold her tongue sometimes. I think she has more self-control than she gives herself credit for.
Okay. Let's take this question from the great Tubby Lunchbox, who says,
what a name.
Are juries normally this vocal? Are they just showing the jury's reactions more this season often to keep us invested in the Edge of Extinction players? Angelina, when you were sitting there in Fiji, was the jury this vocal? Did they have as animated reactions as this jury is having?
There was one night when the jury was super animated, and mm-hmm. I think he might have been a little buzzed, and they actually got yelled at.
Uh-oh.
By himself.
Shut it down.
And shut them down and was like, basically, shut the F up. And so they were pretty well in line after that, weren't as animated, because what was going on was they were whispering a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between the jury talking too much versus the jury having like big expressions. And I see big expressions from this jury, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And kind of know what they're thinking and how they're reacting. But yeah, it's kind of a no-no to be talking too much during Tribal.
Yeah, it's also a big group. I mean, I think at this point, how many people are on that jury? Is it like, are we at 9 people? Yeah, 8 or 9 people on the jury so far. We're still going to add more to it.
War Dog, I believe, because we were on 8 and then 2 quit. So yeah, I think 9 now with War Dog.
Okay, so 9 with War Dog. I mean, that's almost like a fully constituted jury in a normal season. And
so usually it's 10. So the fact that they just keep, I am holding my breath for that final Tribal, because A, they're all starving, as many people have called out on this show. So that's unique. Mm-hmm. And B, it's going to be a big rowdy crew, and you got Reem at the helm. So I'm ready for that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a raucous final Tribal Council.
Absolutely.
I'm excited for that. Okay. Let's take this question. This is from David on Twitter. So War Dog thinks he's only going to stay at the Edge for a few days. It can only mean that he quits, because have you seen him in these challenges? Yeah, War Dog, not a prohibitive favorite to return from the Edge of Extinction.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy to me, because he looks so fit.
Yeah.
You know, physically, it kind of defies logic that he's so bad in challenges, because he looks fit. And then you got
Devins.
And then he's killing it. So I don't know.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Never judge a book by its cover. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
war dog. I love him, but I think this is sayonara for him.
Yeah. It was so funny when War Dog showed up at the edge of extinction and we got Reem at the end of the episode like, dude, you are in for it tomorrow. You're going to get it.
And that's the worst. It's like, just tell me now. Don't make me sleep on it. And
no, dude, morning. You're not going to sleep. You're going to get you're getting Reem daily the whole rest of the way. Oh my God, Reem, that was like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 days ago in the game that we haven't had a last conversation. Like, dude, I don't care. I've been thinking about it this whole way.
Do you practice these?
No, I just do a lot of podcasts. Okay. Let's do this question for Sir Dunstan checks in, says, was War Dog a false flag that ultimately covered up the real Tony clone, Ron Clark, or is my vlogometer broken? Is Ron Clark the real Tony clone this season?
I don't think Ron's a Tony clone. I don't think Ron's is, you know, kind of sporadic and crazy as Tony.
Tony wouldn't give the extra vote back.
No, heck no, he wouldn't. No, Ron actually reminds me a little bit of Mike White.
Ooh.
Playing both sides, being really good at doing it, and just being really calculated and also like a puppety master. So, yeah, that's who I would relate him to more, way more than Tony.
Yeah. No, I think that Ron is great, but I don't think he's Tony. I think that's a little bit of a let War Dog have that he can be the Tony
but War
disciple.
War Dog doesn't feel like he's Tony either, so who knows?
Yeah. I think in the criticisms of War Dog tonight, I feel like that was Tony-esque, where they felt like that War Dog wasn't letting other people be heard. He was just talking at them. Gavin, yeah. I learned one thing tonight, Angelina. He does not like it when you talk to him like a dog. He does not care for that.
I wish I had my dog right here so I could give him a little hello.
What kind of dog do you have?
Oh, a Frenchie.
A Frenchie. Okay. All right. Angelina is moving into position and bringing in a dog. This is a very pet friendly podcast, and we love to hear from pets anytime that we can. Of course, right after this show tonight, I'm going to be live with Bryce Isaiah on Fan Cred at 10:15 p.m. There is Frenchie, the French bulldog.
Franklin.
Franklin, the French bulldog.
He says hello.
He's licking the microphone. Perfect.
All right,
buddy. Okay. All right. Let's do a couple of more questions here before we start to wrap up with the great Angelina. Okay. What buff is that? Is that your merge buff, Angelina?
Merge buff. Yeah, this is Calo.
Okay. All right. Let's take this question from Patrick. Do any of the players have any idea that somebody from the jury could come back? If they do, are they playing as if they know? I mean, they're when they're getting voted out, they're talking about how they're going to be back. So I think that they... I think everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure they know, Patrick. I'm pretty sure. This is from Tara. This is the third week in a row that Jeff hasn't introduced the jury. What's up with that? We don't have enough time.
Yeah. It's just editing. They're just trying to squeeze everything in.
Yeah, we don't have enough time. Okay. Alicia says, what did Devins yell when he won immunity and why? Angelina, do you have a take on this?
I actually asked that same question. I don't know what a chasserie is. That like some French?
So now I was not aware of this prior to tonight, but that what he yelled out was an inside joke for the Tony Kornheiser radio show. I used to listen to the Tony Kornheiser radio show, a ways back. But I guess Rick Devins, a faithful listener, and giving a shout out to Mr. Tony.
That's really nice of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like the equivalent of like yelling out like a Baba Booey. I really was surprised that the show normally frowns upon this type of thing. And I think that was the name of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, it was?
I think it was. So that could be fake news that I just don't drag me if I'm wrong about that. But I'm surprised. Usually the show does not steer into something like that. But I feel like it doesn't hurt with the publicity. Okay. Darren wants to know, ask Angelina, if she was on this season, who would you have aligned with?
From the beginning or from right now?
Either or.
All right. So from the beginning, people that I gravitated towards or who I would want to gravitate towards would be Kelly, Aubrey, Lauren, War Dog. Yeah, I think that would probably be my main crew. If again, if it was just like a free for all, like everyone, those mm-hmm. are some of the people that I would have loved to play with. From who's left? Oh, definitely like Aurora, Julie. Yeah, the underdog crew, Gavin, Victoria. I'm like, I would be at their helm, hopefully. Or no, I don't want to say at their helm, because I think, again, going back to this whole idea of
that power, means you're the pilot.
I hate that. I they didn't show it in my final tribal, but I said that I think as the game evolves, what we're seeing is many leaders, not just leaders and followers, which is more of the old school concept. I think everyone's a leader in their own right, and it's about co-leading and collaborating rather than being led. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. Johnny DeSilvera says, what's up with Kelly's idol that wasn't played last week? Do you think it was replanted? We never saw Lauren consider looking for it. Look, this is the kind of thing where Lauren might have been looking for this idol from, dawn till dusk. And we just didn't see it in the episode. So it's hard to, damn her or praise her for idol hunting here, Angelina.
I agree. Was Aubrey's idol replanted?
So I don't think it was. I mean, if it was, nobody found it. But that was I think the pre-merge is a little bit different where, yeah. It was an unusual circumstance where it was the comma idol, but she had swapped to a different tribe and lost the idol. So in those instances, I don't know if they, I think it's, who knows? Who knows? Okay. You have to get Matt Van Wagnen to answer that question. David wants to know, Robin Steven, it's Angelina here tonight.
Hold on. I can bring out my,
answer this like Steven.
I can't do his voice.
But we know the War Dog is no Tony Vlachos, but how do you think he would have avoided being voted out after making such a big move? # speaking llama.
Who's the speaking llama?
That's Tony. That's one of his things.
See, I'm not a know-it-all. I'm a know-it-some.
Yes.
I'm a know-it-some. So hey, David, this is Steven here. I think that, War Dog really could have avoided this by not being so War Doggy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Steven loves golden retrievers also. Little known fact. He's a big golden retriever puppies, especially. Okay. All right. Let's do one or two more questions, Scott. Guto says, these players are really working the jury. Do you feel like everybody's chances or anybody's chances improve when they do that? I feel like that Gavin won some points this tribal council. Yeah. I think that when it seems like that you are a person who is then avenging the person who just went out, I think that you do score points with the jury, Angelina.
I think you absolutely do. I mean, we saw that with Nick. I think Davey really appreciated that Nick had a strong emotional reaction after he was blindsided with his vote, and it kept Davey loyal to him to the end. So I think that it can work, and I do think that Gavin was kind of working Kelly a little bit tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Cebu appreciated when you guys voted out Gabby after he went out.
Who's Cebu?
Is it that Carl Boudreau?
Oh my God.
You don't know Cebu?
I know Carl. I know Carl. I know the Godfather.
Oh, his good friends call him Cebu, Angelina.
Dang. Well.
Yeah.
I'll pour out a Stella for that. I did not know the Cebu game. I think it helped Gavin a little bit. But it's a fine line between doing too much. So you can't work it too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesse says, would Extinction Island even be hard without Reem? Yeah. I mean, she is. It is great that, not only is Extinction Island hard, but it's also like, you're sort of, the person who's like, throwing salt. Softballs, and she's like standing there in the dunk tank like, dude, is that the best you got? You throw like War Dog, bro. Your throws are lame. You can't even hit that bullseye if you had 100 shots.
The only thing that would make Extinction better would be if Keith was still there. So mm-hmm. we could have Reem
Come on, God.
We got that prayer circle and we got Reem yelling. It's like a one happy family.
Okay. Angelina, Let me talk about a little bit of what's coming up here on Rob as a Podcast. We've got a brand new shirt in the RHAPstore.com. Angela, do you follow the Game of Thrones?
Huge fan.
Okay. Yes. All right. We have a brand new shirt designed by Brian Malloy. And here it is, the RHAP Dire Wolf Bell shirt. Banter is coming. That's available at RHAPstore.com. If that is your thing, that's a Brian Malloy original for RHAP, RHAPstore.com. The Philadelphia Know-It-All shirt where we were last week, they can get that. Banter is coming, all the different versions of that, RHAPstore.com for that. Oh, News AF, myself, Tyson, Danny Bryson got together today for our weekly check-in on the internet's most interesting news stories. Mark Zuckerberg has a new podcast. Angelina, will you be checking that out?
I'm good.
Yeah. Said everybody in the entire world about that announcement of Mark Zuckerberg's new podcast. We talked about that. Possums breaking into people's houses and more on News AF. Thursday. Oh, we got another eviction coming up on Big Brother Canada. Taryn Armstrong and the LFC will be live on Thursday night to check that out. And of course, live feed updates coming as well on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. The Amazing Race episode 2 recap. After I get done on Fan Cred tonight, I'll be watching The Amazing Race. I will have an exit interview with the next team eliminated from The Amazing Race. And then myself, Jessica Leese, and Mike Bloom will recap episode number 2 of The Amazing Race. Angela, are you following the Reality Star Amazing Race?
I watched a little bit of the intro last week, but I couldn't get hooked. I might go back and watch Brett struggle up that mountain. that would be worth it.
Yeah. Who would be your partner on Reality Amazing Race?
Oh my gosh. You know, Mike and I have talked about maybe making a triumphant return.
Well, it would be a third time appearance
third time for Mike.
Right? Did he race twice, right? He raced twice with his dad?
He did, yeah.
Sorry, I try to keep tabs on everything Mike does as much as possible.
Have you seen the Emoji Movie?
We're not talking about that, Angelina. Don't get me in trouble. Okay. PG Law is going to be here tomorrow. Get your questions in for PG. Either send us a voicemail or survivor@robhasawebsite.com. Excited to have PG back with us. And then, the great Megan Z is going to be on the RHAP B&B this week. Angelina, did you know we did so many podcasts in a week?
You work your butt off.
Well, these aren't all me. These aren't all me, but we have a great team here on Rob as a Podcast and the Rehab Ups. And of course, the Mayo Jar, Nick Majorano, is going to be here with lots of surprises coming up on our episode 11 feedback show. Get your feedback questions in for the Mayo Jar.
He does not look like a Mayo Jar.
Well, that's what they call him. And find out why War Dog lost. I'm sure a podcast that will get a lot of feedback from the War Dog with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis coming up this weekend as well on our Rehab Ups feed. And then we've got AJ Mass on this week in Survivor as well. So looking forward to that with Jordan Cash and myself in the Wiggle Room coming up with Josh Wiggler. So that's the rundown for the week, Angelina. Okay. Of course, all of this is
made, pilot. You're piloting.
We're piloting the plane. Okay. If you want to get on board, be a pilot on your own small one person plane that's all flying in the same direction, and become part of our Robin's Podcast patron community. Get access to our patron podcast feed and more. You should head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. Angelina, I can't thank you enough for doing this. You were really fantastic. You were so well prepared. I was telling you right before you that your presentation is so wonderful that nobody ever has had their outfit in the room and the microphone all match.
Thank you, Rob. Well, no, this is just my office. So
yes, it's all
pretty much
all perfect. Would you consider taking over the position full time from Stephen Fishback?
You know, I think we could sit down and look at the numbers and negotiate a little bit.
Let me make you a lowball offer.
Maybe throw some rice in, yes. Throw some other goodies,
yes.
In.
Okay.
One of those shirts, you know.
Yes. Would you like to be paid in retweets?
We could talk. We could talk.
Angelina, I know you are super busy, so thank you for making time for us. Is there anything that you want the listeners to check out that you're up to?
You know, just like last time, always wanted to plug my nonprofit that I'm working hard on. I'm Ready to Run. We are working on preparing the next generation of female leaders. We're nonpartisan. And essentially, we're trying to get every high school and college girl to see themselves as political candidates by getting them to run for student government now. So the website is sheisreadytorun.org. Very early days, and so would love any and all support for us.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was thinking about this today as I was getting ready, that Angelina, one day, do you think that we will see you potentially run for an elected office?
Oh, thank you, Rob. I think after my my villain life on Survivor, that may not be.
Well, I guess you have a point, because once somebody does a reality TV show, they're probably out of consideration for any elected office.
Put on you after that reality set. No, I mean we'll see. I'm not counting it out, but I think there's a lot of my goal is not to get the pipeline built. It's not about me. It's about all of us. So okay. Time will tell.
Hashtag she's running. Okay. All right. All right, Angelina, this was so much fun to get to catch up, and you were a natural for this.
Oh no, you give me too much credit. No, I really appreciate it. This was so much fun. I'm happy to do it anytime. And are you doing Run It Up Reno this year, by the way?
So they just had the one for this past season, and then I have not heard anything yet about October, but that's a ways away.
Okay, well, if you're ever going to my hometown, I'm the first one there, so let me know.
Okay. All right, Angelina, thank you so much. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. If you want to join myself and the Purple Pants Badass on Fan Cred tonight, coming up in a couple minutes, go to fancred.com to get the app. We will see you tomorrow with PG Law. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.